First, a new book looks into connections between leadership in the American Catholic Church and far-right politics. More than a fifth of all Americans identify as Catholic, and they turn out for elections more often than many other groups, 75% in 2016. Our next guest says American bishops and wealthy Catholic donors use their power and influence to, quote, insert their version of Catholicism into aspects of law and society that go beyond religion. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about Catholicism's influence on American politics? Are you a Catholic yourself? Does your faith shape your politics? Do your politics match up with official policies of the church? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Mary Jo McConaughey is a journalist and former war correspondent. She's the author of the new book, Playing God, American Catholic Bishops and the Far Right. Mary Jo, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you, Rob. I'm really glad to be here.
There are a lot of interest groups, of course, in American politics, advocating for different changes. What made you want to focus on American Catholic bishops and major donors who agree with them?
Two things, Rob. I am a Catholic, a lifelong Catholic, what they call a cradle Catholic. That means you were baptized before you had anything to say about it. And I grew up Catholic. And the other important thing is January 6th. As a war correspondent, I had covered coups. I worked a lot in Latin America. And like everybody else, I knew I was watching the events of January 6th in Washington with horror and trepidation. And I began to see many symbols which had been sacred to me my whole life, the crucifix, images of Jesus, but with a MAGA hat on, and a lot of lip service to Christianity, as if this kind of protest and activity were somehow linked with Christian values. And I just said, whoa, wait a minute, what is going on here? And I began to look at my own church, and that quickly led to my look at the leadership of the Catholic Church. So that's how this book, Playing God, began.
One of the main elements of that leadership is the group of American bishops. And you say, politically, they're very different from, say, the current Pope in the Vatican. Can you tell us what you saw when you started looking into the outward political statements and activities of many American bishops?
Yes, many of the U.S. bishops are associated with very right-wing individuals or institutions. Now, so it goes much farther than that with regard to Pope Francis. From day one, they have dug in their heels as a group, not every single one, but the vast majority, against the stands of Pope Francis, including his very, very important message to the world on the environment. You know, Pope Francis was a scientist before he was a priest. He knows global warming is an element of human behavior. He wrote an extremely important encyclical called Laudato Si about it. Who were the only ones to drag their feet on that? U.S. Catholic bishops. Many archdioceses do have investments in fossil fuels, by the way, which I talk about. But it goes farther than that. You know, his big, that is the Pope's big effort for his papacy is this upcoming synod on synodality. Now that sounds like Greek. Well, in fact it is. It all it means is taking the same path. And Pope Francis has kind of put a lot of eggs into this basket of asking Catholics, not just bishops, but Catholics at all levels, what are their aspirations for the church? How do they see the church? This is an extremely important event that's going to start in October. Well, it's already been going on for 2 years with discernment and talks among Catholics. And the U.S. bishops have not joined, not just the enthusiasm for this, they have not promoted it at all. All of the surveys and the groups of Catholics who have met have talked about the need to listen to the voices of youth, LGBTQ community, the poor, clergy sex abuse survivors, and women. And those are not the priorities of the U.S. Catholic bishops. In fact, often with regard, for instance, to LGBTQ, they are as if they were from several centuries ago, and certainly not in the spirit of Pope Francis, who is a pastoral figure, not a doctrinaire figure.
I know in polling, rank and file Catholics in the United States are really all across the board. Some of the most, I would say, liberal people in the United States show up among Catholics in polling, all the way to some of the most conservative. How do you see the bishops, the current lineup of Catholic bishops, matching the rank and file in the United States politically?
With regard to His Holiness the Pope, for instance, there's some huge numbers, such like 80-85%, I don't know, it's in the book and things I've been writing, who are in favor of Pope Francis, the personality, the person, the policy, the pastoralism. And that even goes over to non-Catholics, that they're a majority that see him positively. How does this affect rank and file Catholics, given that their bishops are often not only not on Pope Francis's wavelength, but often clearly against him? Some 20 of them once signed a letter supporting an individual who was calling for Pope Francis to resign, and they've never taken that back. So this, you can imagine, is a cause for confusion, concern among Catholics.
Talking to Mary Jo McConaghay, author of the new book, Playing God, American Catholic Bishops and the Far Right. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Mary Jo, you don't just look at bishops, but also very conservative Catholic activists and donors. I want to focus on the role of one person with origins here in Wisconsin, Racine, Wisconsin's own Paul Weyrich, not a household name, unless you're in very conservative circles, in which case he's a transformational figure in some ways. Can you share a little bit of his career and how he fits into the story of your book?
Yes, well, Paul Weyrich was really present at the birth of the religious right in the 1970s. The Catholic Church after Vatican II, that great moment of reform in the Catholic Church in the 1960s, was not quote unquote Catholic enough for Paul Weyrich. And he insisted that we, that is the United States, go back to whatever his view was of the vision of the founding fathers, which was a Christian nationalist view. That is very little separation between church and state. Paul Weyrich was probably responsible. This is what Grover Norquist says, who's another great right-wing conservative figure, for some of the most important organizations, a co-founder of the Heritage Foundation, of the Congressional Wednesday Lunch, of many others. I named some of them in the chapter on him. That gave birth to the right-wing Christian movement. And what importantly Paul Weyrich did was associate abortion as the prime issue for Catholic bishops. In other words, what he did was he realized that he couldn't do it alone and that abortion was not the only issue that was going, or rather it was not the engine that could get everybody involved in returning us to what he believed the founding father's vision was. And so he went down to talk to Jerry Falwell, who was a very important Christian broadcaster. At that time, the Christian broadcasters and many other Christians were warring against Brown versus the Board of Education with their own private schools. They did not want integration. Paul Weyrich says to Jerry Falwell, look, we can go back to the world of our founding fathers, but we need the foot soldiers that your people can provide. Segregation is not an attractive issue. Abortion is an important issue. And from there on, he said, we need to be a moral majority and we can do it. Well, the rest is history. That was the beginning of the religious right in the United States. And I should say that with regard to the abortion issue, of course, Pope Francis is against abortion. But unlike the U.S. bishops, he believes that it is not the most important, that is the only important pro-life issue, that just as important are capital punishment, euthanasia, care for the poor, the environment, and that is not the stand of the U.S. bishops.
Mary Jo McConaughey is a journalist, former war correspondent, and author of the book we're talking about, Playing God, American Catholic Bishops and the Far Right. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Tell us your thoughts on American religious leadership and its role in politics. If you are a current or former Catholic yourself, love to hear your perspective on the role your fellow parishioners play in politics, on church leadership in American politics. Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with author Mary Jo McConaughey about her new book, Playing God, American Catholic Bishops and the Far Right. You could join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions about American Catholicism, how it fits into politics, your observations, maybe your experiences as a Catholic yourself. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Mary Jo, one issue that's been another point of contention between bishops here in the U.S. and Pope Francis, communion for politicians who support abortion, affecting, among others, a Catholic president, Joe Biden. Can you talk a little bit about how this issue has played out?
Yes, when Biden was elected president, the Catholic bishops proposed among themselves to issue a letter forbidding him communion because of his stand to obey the laws which were then in force, that is Roe versus Wade, even though Biden is a practicing Catholic. It took a real slapdown from the Vatican to prevent the bishops from doing that. Nevertheless, individual bishops, for instance, the bishop of the place where I live, San Francisco, has forbidden Nancy Pelosi, a lifelong Catholic and important leader, and from going to communion in this archdiocese. She does go to Holy Communion in other places, and maybe even here for all I know. And Dick Durbin, from Illinois, has also been forbidden communion in his own parish. This is not the way of Pope Francis. Pope Francis, besides emphasizing that pro-life issues are equally important, said, I have never refused the Eucharist to anyone. That is not his way. It's a very important event in the life of a Catholic. He has never refused it to anyone. But by hooking themselves to the abortion issue, the bishops have also hooked themselves to the Republican Party for the last 20-some years, 25 years. And that's why one of my concerns about the hegemony of the bishops is that they are a threat to democracy by identifying with what the Republican Party has become. And that continues even with the recent overturning of Roe versus Wade.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Tom is with us in Madison. Tom, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm kind of looking back at some of the more progressive Catholic churches and elementary schools. I remember George Carlin talking about going to a very progressive school, Catholic school in New York in the 50s. I went to Catholic school in Chicago in the 60s and early 70s, and I distinctly remember having to debate the Vietnam War from both sides in 7th and 8th grade. Now, today, we can't even read a book about it without, you know, committing some kind of political fervor. I would like to go back to those days. I'm really tired of the idea where the conservatives have usurped Jesus and the flag. There's nothing conservative about either one of those.
Tom, thanks for the call. Mary Jo, do you see that swing from a more progressive era, at least in part of American Catholicism, until today?
Absolutely. With regard to the bishops, that is during the 80s, and I talk about this somewhat extensively, during the 80s, the U.S. bishops were a force for resistance to certain policies of the U.S. government, such as, for instance, allegiance to, or rather support for dictators in Central America. I was covering Central America at the time. I met the bishops who came down there and to see for themselves, and they went home and made a joint stand against President Reagan's involvement on the clearly what they believe was the wrong side in Central America. They were against nuclear disarmament in the 80s. The bishops made a very important joint letter about the economy during the 1980s, in which they insisted on attention to the poor. This is a time of neoliberalism. And they said, no, wait, you've got to watch out for everybody. It's not just about getting ahead economically. All of that filtered into the schools. And so the kind of teachers we had and programs we had and the kind of things that Tom talks about were, this was the way we were raised. And that's why it is rather a shock to the mind when we start looking at what the current bishops stand for.
Thanks for that call, Tom. Mary joins us now in Harpers Ferry, Iowa. Mary, hello.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
What did you want to ask about?
Well, I was just wondering...
We lost our connection with Mary there. She was asking about societies, fraternities of conservative Catholics in the United States. She had a specific one in mind. I guess I didn't get that. Mary Jo, can you talk about organizations that might unite some of the conservative Catholic groups you're talking about?
Yes, they exist. And I talk about them in my book. They are not so many, but the ones that do exist, for instance, one of them is called Opus Dei. That's an international, it's not just the United States. And while they are few in number, they are very influential. The Opus Dei Center in Washington, D.C., for instance, is a meeting place of fervent Catholics. For instance, Bill Barr, Cipollone, the advisor to President Trump, Kellyanne Conway, and the outgoing president of the United States Conference of Bishops is a member of Opus Dei. So they are few in number, but very influential in what they do. By the way, there are also many groups. In fact, they're getting stronger and stronger, partly out of resistance to the bishops, of groups of what you might call liberal Catholics, or progressive Catholics, or Vatican II Catholics. That is, people who are following the principles that were put forth by the Vatican II events. There are even some 200, and I don't have the exact number in front of me, but it's in the book, 280 or so ordained women priests now. Not all Americans, but most of them Americans. So just as there are very conservative groups of Catholics, there are who kind of punch above their weight with regard to their influence, among, you know, laterally among politicians, for instance. There are also other groups of Catholics who are kind of rooting for Vatican II principles and are very pro-Francis. What's really concerning about this is that it kind of smacks of a bit of a schism in the Catholic Church, which, frankly, nobody wants.
Mary Jo, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
That's journalist Mary Jo McConaughey. She joined us for a look at her new book. It's called Playing God, American Catholic Bishops and the Far Right.